Secondly, there are four types. These are the so-called nama in the Theravada tradition. It's called the nama. This is called the rupa. Rupa means a form. Nama means name. What does it mean? It means you're giving it a name. Who is giving it a name? The mind. So this actually belongs to the mind. From the mind. What is the mind? Oh, this is a very complicated one. That is why it's a portal. Feeling, perception, mental formation, and consciousness. Respectively. And feeling is called Vedana. Okay? Vedana. Sanya. Sankara. And Vinyanam. These are the four parts. This is Rupa. So, this is called the five aggregates. Feeling, perception, mental formation, and consciousness. These four, they're interrelated and they all play their part to give us the recognition or understanding of the world that we are in. So this is what we need to understand. If you don't believe in this, you can go and do your investigation yourself. Or you can ask another psychologist or other people who are doing the philosophical training and ask them. And I'm sure if they really investigate deep enough, they will also agree with what Buddha has given us. Unless you can find another one, then you'll be a great person. You'll be a very famous person in the world. But if you really investigate it thoroughly, I can tell you, you will not go beyond the bound of this hole. You'll be in this hole only. So if you really look at this one, and deeply and very intelligently and reasonably and logically, you can only find these four, five, nothing else, not a person, not me. But if you are only looking at it very vaguely and very shallowly, then you will always think, it's me, it's me, it's me. Okay? So now, Buddha also said, not only you need to look at it that way, five, you also need to look at it from the 11 different views. Past, present, and future. And then internal, external, big and the small one, the coarse one and the fine one, the very good one and the poor one, and the far and the near one. And we classify that into different categories. There are 11 of types. So you for this 11 types, you look at this 5 aggregate, and you investigate these 5 aggregate to see whether they are any so-called me inside it, or belongs to me inside it. If you can investigate and found there is a me inside it, then you can question the Buddha. But according to Buddhist training, there is no me in it. And all those who have become attained and become a Buddha, or become an Arahant, or the pure one, they have all realized the truth that there is no me in it. Because there's no me in it, therefore they give up. They give up their attachment to the body or to the five aggregates, and also to the mind. You know, they give up the attachment to the body first, and then they will attain the first path, which is called the Sotapanna. Then subsequently they give up their attachment in their greed about all these various things, and also anger, aversion towards various things. Then later on, they fine-tune their investigation, and they give up their attachment to the meditative state, and also their pride, and also restlessness in their mind, and eventually they will attain the pure state, which is called the pure one, the Arahant. Alright, so very briefly, because of time factor, I can't go too much. Buddha also say there are four types of Buddhists. First is the Buddhists who, after hearing and attain, after hearing the teaching, because they have enough perfection, enough training in their past life, they become awakened almost instantly. They become attained. And this is the first type. And the second type, you need someone to explain to you and analyze to you and lay down everything to let you understand, then finally you realize. And this is called the second part. Okay? So you need to be explained. And the third part is you need to practice, not only just explain. The first one is instantly realize. The second one, you need to be explained a little bit further, and then you realize. And the third one, no. You cannot instantly realize. You cannot also, after explanation, realize. You need to practice. Practice maybe for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, maybe 2 lifetimes, 5 lifetimes, 7 lifetimes, 20 lifetimes, 100 lifetimes later, then realize. And most of us are like that. Most of us are like these days. Then what happened to those good ones? They're all gone already. And the good ones are all gone already. We are all the lousy ones left behind, struggling along. And the fourth part, Buddha says, will never realize. These are the never realized Buddhists. No hope, hopeless one. Why? Even though you teach him, the person don't understand. Even though you explain to him, the person don't understand. Even though you ask the person to practice, okay, prostration, paying respect, offering lights, and do lots and lots of activity, many, many chanting, many, many hours, many, many years of meditation, nothing. Nothing happened. This one here is as hard as a rock. You know, as dumb as a rock, maybe. No hope. Is it really true? Yes, Buddha said that. But how long will it take for this person to realize? It will take a long, long, long time. Now, definitely, Buddha then gives a story. During his time, there was a man, his name is Mahadana. His father is a millionaire. And those days, millionaires is counting in terms of gold, you know, the gold coin. Not today, we're talking about dollar, how many millions of dollars or how many million you have. No, in those days, they're counting by the gold coin. So, this guy, Mahadana, his father is a millionaire. So, he had a good life. So, when he grew up, he married a millionaire's daughter. So both of them become double millionaire. So they live a very good life. Every day eating, singing, dancing. Oh, you know. And they just spend the money. Okay. When after their both parents died, so they should carry on. And then their life. After that, soon their monies are all finished. They squander the whole lot. All the monies are gone from both families. So they both become beggars. So this Mahadana and his wife, they become beggars. They're walking around the street begging. Then Buddha and his attendant Ananda, they went for their alms, for their food. Then Buddha saw them. Then Buddha smiled. And Ananda noticed Buddha's smile. Asked Buddha, "Buddha, why did you smile?" And Buddha didn't say anything. When they finished the alms, they come back. Buddha said, "You know that man we saw today? His name is Mahadana. He was a millionaire." Ananda said, "Yes, I recognize him. His wife was a millionaire too, yes." He said, Buddha said, "If they came to Buddhism, if they come to listen to Buddha's teaching, when they are in their youthful days, I mean in their young days, 20 something, their husband will become an arahant. May Mahadana will become an arahant. The wife will become a anakami, meaning third fruit, their fourth fruit. Sotapanna, Sakatakami, Anakami, and Arahant. So the wife will become the third one, anakami." And Buddha said, "If they are in their middle age, they come and listen to Buddha's teaching, the husband, the name Mahadana, will become an anakami. The wife will become Sakatakami." Then Buddha said, "If they are in their old age, they come to Buddhism, the husband will become Sakatagami and the wife will become Sotapanna." But Buddha said, "I think it's very unlikely they will come now because their life is so difficult. They are begging for food, they are in suffering. They are suffering. If a person is suffering, do you think they want to come and learn Buddhism? It's very difficult." But still it is possible if they come. But this both Mahadana and the wife didn't come. And eventually they died. And they, after they died, they both went into the hell. They both were born in the hell. So that's it. They both missed the opportunity. Now, then I would like to explain about the Buddha Sasana. Buddha Sasana means the Buddha's teaching, the how long it will last. According to the various sources, Buddha Sasana, they say it will last 5,000 years. But from what I read in the Visuddhimagga, and I analyze the verses in the mentioned by Buddha Gosa, I think Buddha Sasana will last 10,000 years because the I analyze it and make it into a chart, and I analyze the words and I reckon. Of course, no, I don't have the supernatural power, and I'm not that. What should I say? I am not really living during Buddha time. Of course, I was living Buddha time, but I didn't have much opportunity to follow Buddhism those days, 2,000 years ago. So, Buddha Gosa lived during that time. He wrote a book called Visuddhimagga, and the book he mentioned about this. Okay. So now, after about 2,000 years, I read his book and I analyzed it, the words that he said. And I can only say from what the word he has mentioned. Alright, there's no way I can go back to in history. So I can only go by what the book has said. And from what I've read and understood, I think it can last about 10,000 years. Now, let's say which the Buddhism can last 10,000 years. We are now, it's a quarter of already. So there's another three quarter time left. Now, he said, oh, there's plenty of time. You can see another 7,500 years ago. So why worry? Let's go and enjoy our life. No, it's not like that. You must think about the danger. What is the danger? The danger of us to be born in the lower realm, in the hell, or in the animal world, or in the ghost world. So, how does those people born there? How do they get born there? Because they are non-virtuous. They do bad things. You know, they do very bad things, very sinful things. So, because of the negative karma, so they reborn them. So the dangers are like that. But if supposing you are a good person, and you're a free thinker, you don't decide whether to take up Buddhism, that's fine, no problem. But maybe only this one. Next one, I don't know whether, I can't guarantee whether you'll be good. Isn't it? Because next time, if you are in a different body, in a different form, you be born in a different locality, let's say you are born in some really bad place, then what are you going to do? Okay, still a danger there. So, which is why the message here is, don't wait. You know, don't wait. Now, the priority here, again, here, is centered around Buddhism here. Okay. So what? So since you have faith, Buddha's teaching is first one is about the suffering. Then Buddha's second teaching is about the cause of this suffering. All this suffering that we have, what is the cause of it? Who causes that? So you see, in our normal tendency, we always pointing finger outside. Oh, it's because of you. You cause all this trouble. Seldom you put the finger and point this way and point at yourself. Buddha's teaching is that you should not point the finger outside you, but rather you should point the finger towards yourself and investigate inward. Who caused the suffering? You have to investigate inward. And using various ways, the Buddha will explain to us actually really we are the one that cause all this suffering. But of course, this is a very easy answer, but you need to investigate yourself. If you don't investigate yourself, don't be too fast, too quick to agree with me. you go and read and investigate yourself. Understand what Buddha had explained. You know, that's the best way. Then you are more convinced. And my duty is, I think the best and the quickest way is to understand Buddha's teaching of dependent origination. If you can read his teaching about dependent origination, then if you investigate properly, then you will know, really, we are the one that caused all this suffering. Okay? Now, and Buddha says, it's a very good simile. The simile of the four type of horses. He says, Buddha says, there are four type of horses. You understand? He says, young man, I tell you, he says, if you know of such a village, there is such and such a man and such a woman, and then that man or that woman was sick until nearly dying. So if you hear that, surely the fear gripping you. And then, with right thinking, right contemplation, you realize, oh, death is coming near me now. I should do something about it myself. So this is like a good horse. The owner sitting on the horseback only had to lift the whip, and the horse, through his side of his eye, saw the whip, and the horse started running very fast, without even letting you to touch the body with the whip. You know, the whip, and the people riding the horse just whip the bum of the horse, and the horse just run and shoot off. This is the first good horse, Buddha says. This is the first type of person. After he hears this teaching, he starts practice. He says, the second type of horse now I explain to you. It's like this. You know such and such village, such and such man or woman is sick and nearly dying. And this man hears that. Oh, he said, through right thinking, contemplation, he realized, oh, death is coming near me now. Then he quickly starts practicing. And this is the second type of good horse, Buddha says. This is like a horse, you hold onto his hair, on his neck. You know? Then he realized, it's urgent now, the owner wants me to run, and he starts taking off and run. So you don't have to whip the horse, and the horse starts running. And the third type of horse, Buddha says. Again, Buddha says, there is such and such village, such and such man and woman. Then they sleep until nearly dying. Okay? When you come to know this, through right thinking, right contemplation, you realize, death is coming near me now. And then through right thinking, right contemplation, you are like also the good horse, you see. You only have to use the two legs, you know, the owner, they sit on the horse, they use the two heels, they just grip their belly, the horse belly, you know. And the horse got a hit on the belly, there's some pain there. And the horse should off and run. Buddha said, this is still a good horse, the third type of good horse.